Episode 461, January 14th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
Fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
It's a live show on a Tuesday night, Joe. Is this unprecedented?
We've never done this before.
Robbie would remember. He's the historian.
Robbie?
We might have done it one time.
Maybe this is the secret. Maybe this is what's keeping us from blowing up even more.
Not having a Tuesday night show.
Yeah. What's up, chat?
Mac's in the chat tonight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because Mac is, he hasn't been a regular on Monday nights, correct?
Maybe he's not available Monday. We should just move the show to Tuesday. I mean, give Rob even less time to get the show out.
Well, Gramps would approve of that.
Why?
To get
oh,
Mac.
Oh, to get Mac. I see. Yes. He doesn't give a shit about Monday versus Tuesday, but he does care about Mac versus not. I think he's very excited. I can't believe it! Exclamation point. Yeah, he's really excited.
Well, Happy New Year. I guess we did this New Year last year, last week. Then I take that back. It's not a Happy New Year. Welcome to the show. Big show Friday night coming up
at
the Baltimore Comedy Factory, our charity show with 98 Rock for Special Olympics Maryland, our charity murder mystery extravaganza.
I think I can say this. Can I give you guys the lineup? Do you guys care if I do that?
I think you should.
All right, let me do that. Let me get in because I need to get the character's name is what I really need. Here we go.
All right.
So Slater in the morning, he's a DJ. He's played by Justin Schlegel. It's the main character.
Yes, he's returning as that role.
Belding Taylor Thomas, which is the sidekick, which is usually played by you.
Yeah.
And you have a shit role in this one.
I do, yeah.
You have the worst role, I believe.
Although I have a favor to ask of you.
What's that?
Can you credit me as a writer? So I can actually, so people don't think this is what I normally do.
Oh,
this is
I
my
see.
Contribution to the show.
I'll say the
is
writer.
This shitty?
I'll say the writer of this
I'll,
one.
I'll take that as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we're not to you. You're the last role that's written.
Yeah.
So normally played by you is Belding Taylor Thomas. It's going to be Scott Reardon.
Yes.
The co-host of the morning show JSS.
The role he was born to play.
Then Joey and Chandler, played by who normally plays that role, Eric Whitworth and Tommy Simbazo, if you're a regular listener.
You can't replace those
no.
two.
Zach is, I guess, we don't give him a last name, but it's based on Zach Morris.
Yes.
Will be played by a bald black man.
Of
I don't
course.
Know if he bald. He just has a...
Kirk?
Kirk McEwen.
Yeah.
Jesse, that's Katie's role.
Yes.
That's going to be played by Marianne Sirk.
The love interest of Slater.
Yeah. So
and the former love interest of Kirk McEwen's role character.
Zach. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's going to be awkward,
yes.
right?
Yes.
think that through, Joe?
No.
I think that we like those extra levels.
No, I like it. I do like it. There's like someone who calls in, a radio caller, that's played by me. And in during the regular show, that's also played by me.
And it's your best role.
It is. Brandon and Brenda... they're contestants in the game that's played at the beginning. The radio contest played at the beginning. That is Matt Weitzel and Caitlin Canary. Both are, Caitlin's a producer of the Afternoon Drive show. Matt, his position's in limbo. He was the assistant music director.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, now he's interviewing for a different position. Now, so we'll let that play out.
It's funny to me that, you know, Caitlin was probably, she's probably born in the 90s, right?
Yeah, definitely born in the 90s. Yeah. You know who else was born in the 90s?
Katie Push.
My wife, yeah. Yeah. Katie Robinson. She was born in 1990. Yes. Yeah, but, Katie Robinson.
How well would she do on 90s trivia?
She would do pretty well.
I'm talking about Caitlin.
Yeah. Poorly. Okay. She's going to do horrible.
That's going to be good for the show then.
Ross, who's a contestant and also has a role in it outside of the game that's played at the beginning, that's played by Josh Spiegel.
Big role for Josh.
Yep. Rachel, who's Zach's girlfriend, right? Kirk's girlfriend, is played by Amy Eveleth of the Baltimore Zoo.
Yes.
If you go to my Twitter right now at Joanne Robinson, you can see a picture of me with Conqueror the Raven.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, would you be scared if you were that close to that raven?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I wasn't. I don't know why. I guess I felt like, all right, she would let me know if I was in danger, right?
I think you said so many glowing things about Lamar Jackson that this raven would know.
He would never, ever.
We can't mess with this guy.
You know what that raven
is? He's one of Hayden Hurst's best friends.
Do you know what that raven's name is? Did I already say it?
The Conqueror?
Conqueror, yeah. Mm-hmm. Detective Mulder and Detective Scully, I'm very excited about this. Mulder played by Paul Mittermeier.
Yes.
And
David Duchovny.
Yes, he's an older gentleman who has one leg, and he does sports. He's the backup fill-in for sports when Bobby Trossett's not available.
I don't believe he likes the term backup.
Whatever you want to call him. He's the next guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Detective Scully, this is the only listener, and that's Asian Megan.
Yes.
She was just the listener of the month, I think last month.
Very attractive young lady.
And she's playing Scully.
Go ahead.
And then the Zima marketing rep is played by Rob Mayer.
You know what I just recently thought? Because of all these 98 Rock super fans that we either encountered at shows or just from Twitter, they've all come to one of our murder mysteries. And I literally was thinking to myself, what the hell? Why can't we get Asian Megan to a show?
Yeah, this is probably. I think she's been to one.
Maybe
show
she
before.
Hasn't. Maybe I didn't know her at the time.
It's weird. I was looking for somebody. I needed somebody. I had run out of people at the station.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The new promotions director, Angelica. Nobody really knows who she is, so it wouldn't do a lot of good to have her in a role.
And they just lost their female producer of the morning show.
Yeah,
that would have had it. Would have.
She would have been good at it. Yeah,
and would have been and seen the show. Would have been eager.
Misha was the assistant program director. I guess I could have used her, but I felt like the two other females that I got are bigger celebrities on the station, right? Yes.
I mean, Amy's probably been on the show 100 times.
She was on the show back. I know she was on with Mickey and Amelia. Yeah. She may have been on prior to that. And she come in there and I've been on with her. You know, I already know her.
No.
She was friends with, she went to high school with somebody I used to work with. So I've known her for a long, long time. But anyway, I would say that she's probably the lowest, who's the lowest rung of celebrity that's doing it, you think? I think it's Matt Weitzel.
He's
the least known.
Yes.
I agree with that.
It is Matt. Sorry, Matt.
Yeah.
And, we have to mention, on sound, Robbie Robbins.
Yeah, sorry about that, Robbie, on sound. But I never forget him when I do the, I forgot you one time.
Yep. One time you said you forgot Sean Gabbert's name.
Yeah, that wasn't my best moment.
Matt Colby wants to know you couldn't get Sarah Symington.
That would have been strong.
I don't know that anybody would get that.
Yeah. Why don't we get Mickey Coachella?
Hey, I mentioned...
Rob and Joe show listeners get that.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I should tell the story because I don't know that I know it accurately, but Mickey was actually let go from 98 Rock because of something that happened at a station event, and maybe there's conflicting stories or whatever, but that's what happened. And I know that he's not really talked about. It's almost like he never existed, which...
That is the vibe I've gotten, yes.
Yeah. So I do this segment, which was actually created by Rob Mayer, All Things AFC North. This last game I did, it was called All Things Playoffs.
Makes sense.
And I was talking about the idea of Tom Brady coming back, and I did my top five. I always do top five.
Uh-huh.
Top five overstayed welcomes. Okay? And I can't remember all the things I did, but I did a bunch of things. But one of them...
Oh, I'm already excited for this.
I said I did a I said I did a comedy show with somebody who will remain unmentioned.
Yeah.
And he stayed on stage until 2:30 in the morning. 25% of the crowd was left. They were all pissed off.
Yeah.
Like I told that just as an overstayed welcome. And Kirk goes, oh, you're talking about Mickey Coachella. He says it right on the air, right?
So, he's the best.
But I love Mickey.
Well, let's talk about this because we haven't really delved deep at all, really, into the Ravens loss other than a quick me texting you 2 days later saying, you know, are you still in shock? And you basically saying yes. Were you at the game?
So I stayed. Okay. Well, I stayed until the third quarter, and then I was like, fuck this, right?
So that's when you, because I had two shows that conflicted with it. I literally was called on stage when the Titans had scored their first touchdown, but they were reviewing it. So I didn't, now it looked like it was going to count, but I couldn't wait. I had to,
yeah.
I was literally, and then when I got off stage the first time, it was 14-3 and the Ravens were driving and they kicked that field goal in the first half. And then when I went on stage for the second time, by then it was 28-6. So I was like, okay, at least I'm not going to be like looking at my phone every 5 minutes while headlining because it looked like it was, you know, over.
Yeah. So this is what I'll say. By the way, teams that I really like lose. That happens. Matter of fact, it happens 99% of the time. Your team doesn't win the championship.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So it's extremely unlikely. Hell, for me, one time in the past decade did the season not end in disappointment for me.
Yes.
So if you consider four major sports over 10 years, that's 40, one time, and that doesn't include fantasy football, it doesn't include golf that we do, it doesn't include any of that.
Betting.
Right. One time did I end up happy after it was all said and done. So I get that's probably what's going to happen normally. This was a strange thing because I'm going to build the scenario for you.
All right.
Six times in the last 7 years, the number one overall seed played in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Six times in the last 7 years. The one time they didn't, the 2012 Ravens when they beat the Denver Broncos, the number one overall seed. The only time.
Right. Okay. The Broncos were the number one seed.
This Ravens team just finished with the best record they ever had in the history of their franchise.
Yeah.
14 wins.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing at home.
Yep.
Their quarterback is the best player in the league this year.
Yep.
He threw 13 touchdowns in prime time. 13. Okay. Mm-hmm. This game's in prime time.
Mm-hmm.
He's on 3 weeks rest.
Which might not be positive.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't. A lot of this, who
right,
knows? Hey,
right.
The weather was perfect. It was 65 degrees.
No weather issue.
There was correct. No weather issues.
No fluky weather okay. situation.
And the Titans were seeing the Ravens for the very first time.
Which generally is advantage Ravens.
I mean, it was these dominoes of, I'm thinking, I don't know how this is not a blowout. I don't know how it's not. Two six mm-hmm. seeds have ever made it to the Super Bowl in history. I mean, every single thing was set up for this to be. And by the way, people are like, oh, the Titans. You know, the Titans lost two of their last three regular season games. People didn't want to talk about that.
Well, one was without Henry, and it was to the Saints.
But the other one before that was when their season was on the line. Mm-hmm. They had an opportunity to win the division. They were playing at home versus the Texans.
Yes.
So I'm like, remember, this is all, it's easy to look at it revisionistly, but when you looked at it, when I was building, it's like, I don't know how the Titans compete in this game. I don't know how they do.
But we did say a couple weeks back, I think, that other than the Chiefs, the Titans, it might have been a month back.
Yeah.
That the Titans were the team that you thought would have posed the biggest threat.
I would have said that.
Because we dismissive of New England, dismissive
yeah,
of Houston.
I would have said that had I not seen the Titans when they needed to win. You know, now I was obviously concerned about the fact that they kept the best running back in the NFL. I was concerned with that, but every single factor, hey, the Titans had given up the sixth most, they were 12th against the run.
They're not a very good defensive team.
Yeah, they're 12th against the run. Are the Ravens good? They're the number one rushing team in history.
Yeah.
Okay. Their quarterback is the number one rushing quarterback in history. They were 7th worst in the NFL against the tight ends. Do the Ravens have good tight
because
ends?
Because you were super confident.
I was so, I've never, everything was set up.
But as a hardened sports fan, because see, now I say this having not had, because an NFL season is unlike any other season, other sport. I haven't had, the Redskins have a season anywhere near this since 1991.
91. They were 14-2 that year.
So yeah. I haven't. They've never given me a chance to have any sort of huge conference.
Yes.
So, and I know other sports are different, but I just feel like I don't know if I can ever get to a point of being that confident because of so many losses.
Well, and I hear what you're saying.
But you haven't experienced a season like that in 25.
And can I tell you something about that Redskins team in 1991? Mm-hmm. They couldn't fucking be beat.
And I remember being super confident they were going to beat Detroit because I remember telling someone that they would win by 21 points and they won by like 30 or something. Mm-hmm. Now, but you would have been nervous if it's the Super Bowl against San Francisco. You would have.
No, of course. Right. Of course I would. No. Mm-hmm. I would have been nervous against the Chiefs.
Or the Chiefs, too.
It's not even a matter of that.
So I get that.
I was just looking at all the variables and I'm like, God, this is really set up. And when I was asking questions, I go, guys, tell me how they lose this game. And I literally was mapping it all out. And I said to Jarrett Johnson, I said, look, look at this, Miggity Mac. There are 10 million sports podcasts. I don't go to Rob and Joe show for sports. All right, fair enough, Mac, but we're only, what, 15 minutes in?
This is about Joe's life.
It's the biggest loss that I've experienced
We've discussed that the love of his life is Lamar Jackson. Yes. This is heartbreak. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to Joe. Can we at least talk about it?
So I went to
I wish we did this on Monday. No, Mac.
I said to Jarrett Johnson, I go, you said when they were getting ready to play the 8-0 Patriots, Jarrett Johnson goes, I think the Ravens are going to blow them out.
Yeah.
I go, what the fuck are you talking about? And of course, they end up winning by 17.
Yeah.
And I reminded him of saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, tell me how you feel about this. And he's like, yeah, I feel the same way. So, you know, I wasn't on an island. Clearly, you can go back and go, God, you know what the hell you were talking about. But all it really does is, you're right, it makes me think, all right, I always have to be skeptical.
You never know. Well, yeah. I think in having me stating, making the case for the Titans, I still, as Nicky Diamond predicted, I believe it was like 31-17 or something, right?
Yeah.
But I thought in my mind it would be that the Ravens would be a little rusty with the layoff and the Titans having basically been in playoff mode for a month. I thought it would be a very close first half, and then the Ravens would pull away.
Here's something cool that is about sports that they might even appreciate. So, do you know who the legend of the game was?
I do not.
It was Trent Dilfer.
Oh, yeah.
So, he was sitting at the broadcast.
That's cool.
Okay? And
Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Now, it's a little famous that he's bitter. Because he played here 1 year.
Yeah.
And they said, we don't want you. And then they brought Elvis Gerback in, and he was famously horrible, right?
Which has never happened in any other team, where you win the Super Bowl and then they get rid of you.
Hey, he's still pissed.
Really?
He was still pissed, yes.
How do you know that?
He talked about it.
On the air?
He goes, look, it's not a secret. Here's what happened. I got injured. I'd lost 30 pounds.
Yeah.
They didn't give me an opportunity to do this. They offered me a contract extension during the regular season. Back then, it was a distraction to the team, so I didn't take it. And then they did this, and then they did. And he
laid it out.
Laid it out where he's still bitter. And I said to him, and he is bitter, because I said to him, I go, well, you think you're bitter? I had gotten Elvis Gerback for my fantasy football team the next year. And that really hurt me.
He didn't laugh?
He's like, well, that's a lot different. Well, no shit, motherfucker. I'm making a joke, right? But he was still pissed.
Are we blaming Trent Dilfer for losing that game? Negative energy?
Bad mojo, bad yes. Mojo. It is funny
because...
I don't
believe in that.
Well, I said to him, well, it's weird. I also talked to Dennis Pitta.
Uh-huh.
I go, can somebody be... I remember I used to say, well, Tim Tebow is a winner. That's a dumb thing. You're not a winner. Now... He said, no, you can't be a winner or a loser, but you can be really good and play the position that has the most effect on the game. And that's what he said about Lamar Jackson. He goes, a tight end can't be a winner.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't will your team to win at the tight end position.
Yeah.
But you can catch every ball that's thrown to you, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, Trent Dilfer was mad. And I go, well, look, the good news is you were right. And I go, when you go out on the field and hear how they react, you're going to know that you were correct.
Do they play an Elvis Presley song when he walked out?
No, shitty. They didn't. But
I'll say this in wrapping up. I think what the good side of going 14-2 and winning 12 in a row and winning and blowing so many teams out is that means you're really, really good. The negative is you've never been behind 14-0. And I heard this stat today. The Ravens are 0 for the last 18 when trailing at halftime. Now, that's going to if that's on anybody, it's on the coach.
Right.
Most of those are not with Lamar Jackson. But I do feel like if with the weight of the playoffs, having never done something before, and Tennessee, a team that's going to beat themselves, they're not going to throw up crazy interceptions or do anything risky,
right,
and Henry doesn't fumble. I do think that put them in a situation where it would have behooved them to have come back earlier in the year. But they were killing teams, so they never were behind.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
You can't do anything about it.
You can do to fix
it. Just,
I just read it, and then we'll stop after this, Mac. I just read the Ravens don't know how to play from behind. Well, yeah, you do know how to play from behind. You might not be very good at it, or you might just be playing a team that's better than you that day.
Yeah.
But you know how to play from behind. What was Lamar Jackson? Is he bad? He was the highest rated passer in the pocket this year. Now, was that set up by the run game? Yeah, I'm sure that it was. But let's not act like this guy can't get out of his own way when he's throwing the football. It's a dumb thing for people to say. He threw the most touchdowns in the league. Okay?
Right.
Are his receivers great?
No, but I mean, clearly Tennessee's game plan was to make him throw.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't what beat him was the fact that they turned the ball over five times. More than that, sorry. They had two interceptions and a fumble. They were stopped on fourth down four times. Those are all turnovers.
Yeah.
So you can't win that way. Anyway, all right, enough.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the baseball suspensions for the Astros. Just kidding. Robin Joshua, be right back.
Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. These two plan to be wed. It's too bad someone will drop dead.
We're having a wedding and you're all invited. Die Laughing Productions presents Love and Marriage and Murder. It's the bride and groom's big day. Bells will ring, the sun will shine. They'll love until the end of time. The end indeed, because this is a murder mystery, a wedding whodunit. Can you solve it and live happily ever after? Love and Marriage and Murder stars me, 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Joe and Katie Robinson, the real-life newlyweds, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions performers. But the real stars of the show are all you, the wedding crashers in the audience. We have audience roles available for willing volunteers. The rest of you could sit back, laugh, and enjoy a wedding day ruined by an untimely death, and maybe help solve a whodunit.
Two shows, February 14th at McGoobie's Joke House in Timonium, Maryland. For more information, go to DieLaughingProductions.com. Tickets are available right now.
You ready?
Yeah. The heck was that drop?
Yeah, he doesn't know if we're talking. Hey, you know what I would like to talk about? Can we talk about the Brad Williams thing?
Can we talk about that?
Is that crazy?
I don't even know. Ugh.
It's public information, right?
Yeah.
Set it up.
Okay. Brad Williams is a little person, comedian.
By the way, I've worked with him. Have you?
I haven't, but I've heard nothing but good things, and he crushes.
Well, he destroys.
Yes.
He does a thing where he gives a girl a lap dance. It's pretty fucking hilarious. When I worked with him, that was the night that I had my threesome. Which wasn't really. You remember that story I've told?
Are we talking about this on the air?
I thought I've told that story.
All right,
before.
Yeah, not as a married man, but
well, I mean, she knows it happened,
right.
But it didn't really happen.
Okay,
but I basically brought two girls back to the Lord Baltimore.
Yeah,
one of them had a really good body and a chupacabra like face.
The other one had the opposite.
So the other one had a giant body and a beautiful face. And I went back, and one of them goes, I'm going to take a bath. And I'm like, oh, is this what we do? And then I just had sex with one of them.
Yeah.
And then after that was over, the other one came out.
Oh, and you counted that?
And then I had sex with her.
Okay, that does count.
I mean, they weren't.
Joe is a fucking loser.
That happened. I think I haven't told that story.
I don't. Mac Bergson's a show story.
You did. Yeah. On the show.
Yeah, I thought
so,
I did.
Do we really want to talk about this? This is pretty...
I mean, yeah.
It's not funny, though.
That's all. But, you know, it happened.
Okay, but we haven't been funny yet on this whole show. So.
Well, I just told the threesome story.
Okay,
so
that was
good.
Funny.
About the two girls. There we go.
So, But that clip that was on YouTube was from like a couple months ago. So if it hasn't blown up yet, I don't know why.
Well, what do I mean? It exists.
Brad Williams was on Doug Benson's podcast, Getting Doug with High.
Getting High with Doug or Getting Doug? No, it's Getting Doug with High. Okay,
yes, on purpose. Yes.
Got it.
And he's telling a story. It's Doug Benson. I don't know who the other guy is. And then Brad Williams. And Brad Williams is telling a story about working with
Carlos Mencia.
Carlos Mencia. And they are at, I guess, Carlos's hotel.
No, they're on his bus.
Bus, sorry. Yeah. And there's a drunk fan, female, on the bus.
They said she blew the driver to get on the bus.
Okay. And she's hammered. And Carlos is, according to Brad, a married man and doesn't partake. And
by the way, I didn't buy that. I think he was just protecting him, but that sure. didn't, that didn't resonate with me.
So according to Brad Williams, he goes into the bedroom and starts having sex with this girl when she is under the impression
all the lights are out.
The lights are out that she's having sex with Carlos Mencia.
So basically, Brad Williams, who's a little person, mm-hmm. tells a story on a podcast that he raped somebody.
And then the guy, the other host, says, I think you're describing a rape. And then it gets super weird and uncomfortable and like, haha, am I really? Should we go? And it's nobody knows really what to do next.
Well, yeah, there's two issues.
Well, first of all, that never aired. Somehow it got leaked.
It got leaked, yeah.
Yeah.
But that is rape.
Yeah.
So, yes. There's stop. There's
Why
two
are you
things.
Doing that? Well, yeah. Now we're in trouble. Yeah. Okay. Jesus, right. Ron.
So there's two things that factor. Mm-hmm. The first thing is the lights are out.
Yeah.
But if the lights are on and she's drunk, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
If she's so drunk, she doesn't know that she's having sex with a midget versus a
She
big,
certainly didn't
fat...
consent to have sex with him.
Of course,
According
right.
According to his story, which who knows?
Yeah. So what happens to this guy?
I don't know. Well, again, I thought that clip was posted a couple months ago.
I'll bet what he does. He's going to go, no, she it was consensual. She realized yeah. it was me, and it was good.
Bad joke. Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. But
has J.L. Covan spoke on this?
I don't know. Because I don't know that he knows. I'd like to be the person to reveal it.
He took us to task a little bit. He was upset with how he described him not being a super fan of Ricky Gervais's...
What'd he say?
Emmy's speech. He goes, not sure how long
Golden
my...
Golden
Globe, sorry. Not sure how long my track record has to be defending comedians and vulgarity and boundary pushing, but it's been at least 10 years with only Michael Richards' N-word tirade being the only time where I said I didn't like it and can't defend it on stand-up grounds. And yet when I shit on an average movie like Booksmart, which is a clear beneficiary of woke / empowerment / public relations push as anything out there, Joe all of a sudden stands with lefty critics gushing over an average movie because it is woman-centered and directed.
By the way, listen to the news.
And he goes, to be clear, I had no problem with none of the content of Gervais said on offensive grounds, and I'm sad you guys didn't make that distinction. My issue was 20% of his jokes were not that good, but comedians defend them because since they were harsh, they must retweet it as great comedy.
Okay, but here's the thing.
But he is pretty good on comedy. Like, I
That's
do
fair.
Almost always
That's
agree
fair.
With
I'm
him
not,
on stand-up comedy
yeah,
grounds.
Listen, even saying that something that isn't like-minded isn't funny, I never accused JL of him not being able to do those things.
Right.
But since it doesn't fit his narrative, he doesn't like it. So that's what I'm accusing him of, and it's hard for him to... I mean, we have to crawl into his brain to figure out why he did it or didn't laugh. I don't know that even he can do that. Maybe he's not self-aware. I don't know. Or maybe I'm dead wrong, but it doesn't surprise me that he didn't think that was funny, but that's...
But he generally... He might be, you know, left on politics, but when comics... He's not left on comedy.
But I never
issues,
accused him
left.
Of saying that right. Ricky Gervais didn't have a right to do it. So again,
I think we were labeling and pushing him in the woke social justice comedy basher that is prevalent on Twitter.
Okay, fair enough. I have to go back and listen. I don't believe
you
You're right. I won't. I don't. What I think is that he can't find that funny because it doesn't support his agenda. That's what I believe. And
I think he's trying to push back against that.
Fair enough. But nobody's making an argument that he has a problem with his right to do so. And that's what he's saying. Hey, I'm the one who always says, okay, nobody, thanks. Okay, you should do that.
You got a shout out on the Return of the Righteous Prick.
Dude, I only listened to the, I listened to the second episode.
Oh, God. There's a second one. I haven't got to that yet.
Well, the first one's just this tiny little.
Oh, no, no. I didn't listen to that one. I listened to the first full one. Yes.
So this is the thing.
Welcome back, JL.
Yeah.
I wanted more shitting on Fleabag just to upset Joe.
Well, this is the thing about that. Hey, I'm in the minority. I don't like a show that's generally both liked by the audience and well-respected by the critics. By the way, that's not opinion. You can just look. The numbers are there.
You're talking about Fleabag?
Yes.
Well, I think me, Robbie, and Marianne all thought it was overrated, and JL. So
listen. Again, I'll go back to what I'm saying. It just won the Golden Globe for Best Comedy. So let me go back to what I'm saying.
Yes.
The critics more overwhelmingly like it. That's not, again, it's not a matter of opinion. You can go, okay, so that's the first thing. And audiences overwhelmingly like it. They actually keep the numbers. So if you're going to say it's overrated, that's fine. You can't say, I disagree with the majority of people, you're a fucking moron, which that's where he goes. He doesn't say, I'm having difficulty understanding why people embrace it the way that they do. That's not what he says. He goes, you're an idiot.
No, I think as far as that show, he's saying it's fine, it's good, it's got some really good moments, but it's not great.
I'll bet you he calls people, I bet he says it's absurd and he calls you an idiot and you don't know anything.
I think he thinks it's absurd to think that it's better than Veep.
No.
I think he thinks it's Clyde Drexler and Veep is Michael Jordan.
Okay. My point is, if you, all you got to do is listen. Mm-hmm. This is, we don't even, there's no debate. Right. Go back and listen. Form your own opinion about what he thinks if you like the show. What he thinks about your taste.
Okay. I think he would have, if it was a rotten, he would have given it a fresh tomato if he was rating it on that scale.
Really? Because you're a moron it's pedestrian. I mean, but right. The point is that, and you can listen.
Although I don't want to shit on that show because I like that she wrote it herself. She got to do it all herself. From an artist standpoint, I like that she got to do exactly what she wanted. So I don't want to.
That's not the issue. Right. The issue is that if you, let's go back to Booksmart, because there really is no.
But I didn't see that, so I can't speak to it.
But the story is the same. It's absurd to have liked it, meaning I liked it.
Right.
That means I'm absurd. I'm not paraphrasing.
It means that opinion is absurd. Doesn't mean you are absurd as a person.
My ideas are absurd. Okay? I'm letting you know, out of every 100 critics, 98 liked it. So the point is that this hyperbole that he uses, the direction that he goes, it makes him so unlikable.
But I will defend that in the sense that there are movies like, what was the second, not the most recent Star Wars, the last?
I didn't see it, Rogue One. I don't
know.
No.
That's like 3-4 ones ago.
I don't know. I don't
whatever the second of the big three. What's it called? The Last Jedi? The Return of the...
Right. I didn't see it, but yes. Jedi. Okay.
It's like 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it is a piece of shit.
Fair enough.
That everyone, by the way, the audience says it's a piece of shit. So there are certain movies that they push because they have this agenda.
But I'm not saying that that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is that the burden of proof, and I said this already, is on you.
How did you not see that movie? I thought you said
I'm not a big
movie.
Star Wars guy.
Right.
The burden of proof is on you. If you are going to say, I agree not just with the audience. I mean, I disagree with the general public. Let me explain to you why I feel this way. But the idea of calling someone an idiot for feeling the other way around,
I'm not arguing that.
That's the thing, because, you know, when you're sitting at home and you're listening, you're much more likely to be one of the idiots. You understand?
But it's called the Righteous Prick. He's supposed to take on things that's the root of the podcast. Take on things that are popular that he thinks are overrated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that is the shtick, if you will.
I gotcha. And on the Last Jedi, you're at 91%. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like it, right, you'd say, well, wait a second. That doesn't say, same thing with me with the stripper movie or whatever, right? It didn't work for me. By the way, here's the other thing. 43%.
Right. Audience.
So you don't have to defend it. Okay. Because it's supported by, you understand?
Yes.
The numbers support what you're saying.
Right.
Okay? there's people, there's an elite that 9 out of 10 people like it, but the masses, less than 43% of them like it.
But overrated is not saying bad.
Well, no. If you say to me, let's do this. Sorry.
I think the chat is hating this more than the Ravens talk.
That's fine. So Booksmart has a
show of the decade.
Has a 97% and a 77% audience score. Okay. So 3/4 of the people, general audience likes it. 97%. So even if you say, oh, they're woke, well, whatever, the general audience, it's different.
Yes.
3 out of every 4 people like it. So if you didn't, you're the one that needs to say, okay, this is the problem that I have, but at least explain, hey, in general, people liked it, and here's why.
Right.
Is it because everybody's dumb? If you're going to say that, then you have to suffer the consequences of telling 3/4 of the people that are listening to you that they're idiots, which I don't think is a smart thing to do.
Well, but you don't think most people are dumb?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So, what has the chat seen any of these shows or movies? Robbie, have you seen Booksmart?
I have not seen Booksmart, sorry.
Are you calling Fleabag overrated, or are you calling it a Emmy Golden Globe worthy winning show?
I just think I enjoyed it, but I had a lot of problems with it. I didn't love it.
I think that describes me. Yeah, but again, I like that this is her show. She got to do what she wanted.
Yeah.
So I want more of that. So I'm not gonna. I would never say anything bad about it, just on those grounds.
Hey,
it's not like I disliked it.
Well, here's the other thing. People are in chat are saying bring back Michael Chamberlain. Let me tell you something.
Okay.
Michael Chamberlain.
That's a good idea, though.
Would probably agree with JL, and he is extremely unlikable. You understand what I'm saying? He's extremely unlikable. So anyway, you understand my point.
Yes.
It's like, you know, I want to be on your side. I want to like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quit attacking me. It makes me not want to. He now says this thing is that, you listen to it. Again, you tell me.
I'm not going to listen again.
He says, if you're conservative, he doesn't say anything.
Oh,
he says
now
conservative,
we're going politics. Now
but
it
it's
gets
not
real
even,
juicy.
This is just a mentality.
Yeah.
If you're conservative, I believe it either calls you a bigot or a racist. If you're conservative, not, you don't have to vote for Trump.
Right.
You have to be conservative.
Yes.
All right.
You have to.
You understand?
You have to go to bed early.
For the history of mankind, it's been 50-50
right
down the Lord. He says, hey, half of you, you're the fucking worst pieces of shit that ever lived.
Well, somebody said on Twitter the left strategy in 16 was to call half the country racist, and that didn't work, so now they're going to call 70% of the country racist.
Yeah. All right. I generally don't think I'm a racist.
I don't think so either.
Thanks,
I mean,
man.
Would a racist love Booksmart?
Well, there weren't a lot of black people in it, so.
But, Joe, you like anything British and anything in high school now? That's your wheelhouse.
Hey, can I say this about, I love teen movies. Love them.
Yeah.
I always
that
have.
That is interesting.
I always have. You can't name a teen movie, not necessarily within the last 5 years, but if you go back before that, I've seen them all.
Teen Wolf?
Of course, please.
What's the Mount Rushmore of teen movies? Are we as Breakfast Club considered a teen movie?
Well, let's, okay. All right. Now you're Breakfast Club's got to be on there.
Right.
John Hughes probably has a lot of these, right?
Probably, yeah.
Would you consider Say Anything a teen movie?
Well, I've never seen it. I know you're going to get engaged to that movie.
I mean, it's a great film.
No, I should see it.
Yeah.
It's not like there's a reason I haven't.
Teen movies.
Teen Wolf.
No, it's not.
Come on.
Teen Wolf is not on the Mount Rushmore of teen movies. But what about a movie like Pretty
Juno? What about Juno?
God, Juno's so good, man.
Love Juno.
It really, really is. All right. Let's see what we got here. Most of them are
super bad.
So all these are fairly recent. The only one that goes back is The Breakfast Club. So that would be in there. Mm. Ooh, is Mean Girls on there? I don't know.
Clueless.
Oh, what about
Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's
yes.
What about, I see, like a movie like Dazed and Confused, I wouldn't consider it a teen movie.
Hmm.
Right?
No, I would.
Would you, Robbie?
Is American Graffiti a teen movie?
It's not.
Exactly.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High is on here. It's not a teen movie.
What about The Outsiders?
It's not a teen movie. 16 Candles is a teen movie, right? Mm-hmm. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Can't Buy Me Love is. By the way, Ferris Bueller's Day Off is on the Mount Rushmore of teen movies.
So we're going to lock in Breakfast Club.
Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller.
That's 100%.
Okay.
Clueless, I don't. Pretty in Pink is a teen movie. 16 Candles is a teen movie. This movie right here, I've seen it a million times. It stars Freddie Prinze Jr. and what's that other chick? I can't. Oh, She's All That.
Why don't you type in best teen movies, not just teen movies?
True. We're getting some. All right, here we go. Best teen movies. This says on Netflix. Let's make sure we don't get that.
No.
All right, here we go. We got, it's the same movie. It says the same exact shit. Superbad, I wouldn't consider that a teen movie.
Well, I mean.
Say Anything is on here. Robbie, a teen movie? Grease. I do not consider Grease.
Is Juno a teen movie, Robbie?
I think, yeah, man, it's heavy.
No.
Pitch Perfect?
Yes. Yeah.
Can't Buy Me Love is a teen movie. That's a big one.
Is there some high school football movie that counts?
Well, what's it called with the guy from Dawson's Creek? That was the Varsity Blues.
Aren't they in? Oh, yeah.
They're definitely
in. Friday Night Lights. That's another.
Yeah.
Yes. That counts.
I wouldn't consider that on a Mount Rushmore.
No.
No, but it counts.
They're probably John Hughes movies and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So it's probably Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles. So it's probably, that's probably what it is.
So that means there hasn't been a classic Mount Rushmore teen movies in 35 years or something?
Yeah, I mean, they're showing this new stuff, and it's most of the time one of them has cancer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not.
What's that movie you loved about the girl, the 13-year-old?
Oh, Eighth Grade?
Yeah.
No, that's a middle school movie.
That's true. Damn it.
Yeah, no, but she, I mean, yeah, I don't think it was widely. Hey, Dazed and Confused is on here. Yeah.
What about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Definitely not.
Not another teen movie?
No, that wasn't very good.
You know, I interviewed Jamie Presley and then her co-star for that movie.
For what?
The guy that went on to play in Dumb and Dumber sequel, with the one without Jim Carrey.
Who knows that?
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you know his name?
I've forgotten his name.
Dude, Jamie Presley, pretty funny. She was on that My Name is Earl. She's funny. She's pretty hilarious.
No, it was interesting because I was doing this, the show Megahertz. On this public television station in like Fairfax, Virginia, we had this. I did movie reviews and but sometimes we'd actually get real people to interview. And so after the interview, we were gonna film this funny thing that I was hitting on Jamie Presley, and she was rejecting me, and I was acting like that she gave me like real signs that we had a connection,
right?
But their publicist didn't know that was happening. So we actually just one take this thing, and it was really good. And the publicist is giving me this dirty look. We got to go, which we got in the shot. So it literally, the shot ended of them walking out awkwardly, but that was the point of the whole scene.
Oh, hell yeah.
So it was really awesome. I wish I could find it somewhere.
It doesn't exist.
It's got to be somewhere because the publicist doesn't know. She thinks I'm actually hitting on Jamie Presley.
So here are the two people in Dumb and Dumberer is what the name of the movie
is. Oh, he's also in the CSI LA or whatever.
Is it Derek Richardson or Eric Christian Olsen?
I think it's Eric Christian Olsen.
He
yes.
played Lloyd, the Jim Carrey character. This
yes.
guy. Oh, yeah, no, that
yeah.
guy.
He's got a real career.
Yeah, no, he's in.
In
I have
CIS
seen him.
Los Angeles.
There you go.
That's what
I don't
it's
like
called.
His hair.
I said that to him. No, I forget what his hair looked like then.
Look at he's been in some really good films.
Including Not Another Teen Movie.
Celeste and Jesse Forever, Warning Labels, Band of Robbers, The Relationship, Sun Dogs, Battle of the Sexes.
He's hanging in there, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to wrap it up now.
Oh, this is going to be our worst show ever.
Yeah. Now, you said on our group text the other day that you're not even going to watch the Super Bowl. Is that true?
I'm not watching it.
You say that now, but it's in two weeks.
I don't want to see it.
Okay, now, but you're going to. Time heals all wounds, Joe.
God, all right.
I have to pull for Kansas City. I have to pull for Kechner.
No, you have an interest.
I also like Kansas City. I've always, kind of liked Andy Reid.
Well, if I'm going to root for a team, I'm going to root for a team that's never won the Super Bowl, the Tennessee Titans. You know, and if they win the Super Bowl, then I'll go, okay, well, they were the best team.
Okay, well, the Tennessee's been to the Super Bowl more recently than Kansas City.
They've been to one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they were a yard away from tying it up. More sports.
You're not going to watch the games this weekend, Joe?
No, I'm not fucking watching the games.
I will miss the late game because I'll be headlining the DC Improv Lounge this Sunday. Go to dcimprov.com. Come see it. And if this show gets up in time, Gilbert Gottfried, Thursday night.
What?
The Rams Head on stage.
And you're working with them?
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I'd like
Gilbert. Yeah, come on out. Thanks, guys.
Later.
Nice.
Katie said, we're going to a movie, not watching. Sorry. Wife card being pulled. I said, no need.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.